Many people in our food community have been seriously impacted by Superstorm Sandy, and our hearts go out to them. At HRN, we've been covering these stories since the storm hit. To learn more, visit our website at www.heritageradionetwork.org. Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Good afternoon, folks. This is Phil Colicchio, and you are listening to The Business of the Business, the show that explores the business side of the restaurant and hospitality industries. And we are airing live here on the Heritage Radio Network, heritageradionetwork.org. If you missed this broadcast, and we never know why anyone would miss this broadcast, you can always find us archived at heritageradionetwork.org and as a podcast on iTunes. Folks, today we are dedicating this program to the victims of Hurricane Sandy, which wrought destruction and misery in our area unlike any natural disaster we have seen in our lifetimes. It's been 3 weeks now, and while it's a little better, it's not all better. We do not equate loss of profits with loss of life, but we recognize that blood and sweat and tears of human beings who work and grow businesses are deeply affected by the devastation that occurred from this unpredictable and horrifying natural disaster. We've talked about businesses as being part of life, and clearly lives have been disrupted and terribly affected. We have two people here with us today who are going to give a business touch to the hurricane and what it's meant to the restaurant business in New York. We have Jeffrey Zarofsky, the operating partner of the Witchcraft Restaurant Group. You may know Witchcraft if you are a New Yorker or if you spend time in Las Vegas. It is a terrific, high-quality sandwich, salad, and dessert operation that Jeffrey has been operating, really as the manager from the first store. Good afternoon, Jeff.
Good afternoon, Phil.
Thank you for making your way out to beautiful Bushwick today.
It's a great trip.
We also have restaurant insurance guru Howard Sweetwood. If you listen to www.heritageradionetwork.org in the past couple of weeks, you've heard Howard giving some background, some tips to restaurateurs affected by the hurricane on how to manage the insurance claims process. This is going to be the first of a two-part interview. We're going to ask Jeffrey to talk about where Witchcraft was, where it developed up until the last couple of weeks, what occurred from a business standpoint when the storm came, and what he's doing now to try and put the business back on all fours. Howard is going to join into that conversation because the insurance component of the restaurant industry is an often overlooked component. It is often underappreciated, but it's never been more in the spotlight than it is right now in our area. So I want to start off, Jeff, with you. 2012 must have been shaping up as the best year ever for your company.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we obviously the last 4 years in the restaurant business have been unusual at best, but the last year has been a great ride, and we had growth in the number of units we've opened, growth in the number of employees we've hired, and the business was on track and continued to be on track for great stuff. This clearly took us by storm, not to be funny, but it really did. And I'd say that in addition to sort of the property loss and the business interruption that occurred, I'd say the biggest, let's call it victims within the business of the restaurant are our employees.
Yeah, you know, I really wanted to get to that and get to it early because you and I have known each other for a long time, mm-hmm. and I have seen you struggle and grow with your workforce because the workforce at Witchcraft is not like the workforce at Gramercy Tavern, where a lot of the people from Witchcraft really got their start. And, you know, and I saw how much time it took to really galvanize a workforce.
Yeah, so actually, we were focusing in 2012 on continuing to build and grow our employee morale, and that's been our biggest focus this year. We know that a happy workforce, an engaged workforce, is going to continue to grow an organization that can continue to grow its business much more easily than it can if you just try to do it with brawn.
Sure.
And we've been doing that. The numbers, our employee retention's grown. Surveys for employees was its highest peak, and then all of a sudden, they're out of work.
And
there's not much we could do for them.
No, it's clear.
In fact, one of the most disappointing things I think of all of it is the notices that a lot of our employees got for workforce unemployment for disaster unemployment insurance that you know, we're told, oh, you can go apply, and then they were getting phone calls from people. So there were people on the other side of the phone saying, oh, there's a 7-day waiting period.
Right.
And before you know it, they're back to work. But I want to draw one distinction about the difference between the workforce at Witchcraft and also we have a fine dining restaurant,
right,
River Park.
Right.
And
terrific fine dining restaurant.
Thank you. Both employees bases, I'd say, suffered greatly, right? Even at Witchcraft, it's pretty much an hourly wage, and at River Park, it's a tipped wage.
Right.
Both suffered greatly, and as an organization, we were scratching our heads and trying to figure out ways we could justly and equitably compensate everyone for even though the times we were out, because retaining employees even a week off is you know a signal from the company that you can't do much for can't do much for your staff.
Jeff, you know, and you've been in the business a long time. I know I've been in the business a long time. The best and the most successful restaurants, cash wise, are week to week.
That's correct.
And so it is. It, you know, losing a week is a devastating economic impact.
Yeah.
You started the year off with how many employees?
Probably like 360 employees, and we're up to about just over 400.
And now,
well, I don't know where we are yet. We're settling in, right?
I'll get back to three weeks.
The world turned on its head.
Right, but 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Again, in what we think here in the Northeast is that, you know, we have a snowstorm and the plow comes out and it's all over. This is going to be a year, if not longer.
And the
of recovery.
The effects of this, and I want to say something that I wanted to mention at the top, which is the damage and suffering of restaurants and businesses is obviously very great. Nothing in comparison to the lives and fortunes of people who've been absolutely wiped out by this, including businesses who are wiped out. But to your point, the 6 months, year, whatever effect is going to have on employment in our industry and where these people's homes are. I have employees who still are displaced.
Of course.
And on add to that the fact that for a week they weren't making wages, full wages. That's devastating. And that's devastating to the morale of the company.
Absolutely.
And so that has an effect that has yet to be computed.
Well, it's going to be hard to do. And we've got our colleague, Howard, who's sitting with us. Howard, are you seeing, you've both seen 3 weeks that were unprecedented in your businesses. I'd like to hear, is Jeff's expression thus far, is that a unique expression, or is that an expression that you're hearing every 30 minutes on the other end of a telephone?
About every 3 minutes. It's trying to get the
insurers or restaurateurs to understand what's going on and separate the emotion now and get into the, well, the preparing their claim and getting it together, right. And not to forget about their employees, but now say, okay, now how am I going to put these employees back to work and how quickly can I do it?
Right, right.
And you feel badly because you want to hold hands. You want to do all that you can, but it is overwhelming, mm-hmm. emotionally, physically.
Yep.
But this story that Jeff's saying is redundant, unfortunately.
Right. The what I hope to be good news out of this is that a restaurant group like Jeffrey's, and like many restaurants, frankly, relies on discipline in a number of categories, business categories, and labor and food costs and rents and things like that, that really require focus and discipline as you're planning budgets. That focus and discipline is going to come in handy during this claims process, isn't it?
Certainly is.
Yeah.
As we were discussing before we got going, those who have the skill set, really first and foremost, those who have the information well organized and documented prior to a claim, prior to a loss, are going to be the ones that come out ahead and most likely get their claim serviced and paid more quickly.
Right.
Can I jump in there for a
second? Yeah, I want you to.
No, I think that I understand that that's going to be the case. This is an industry that is unique, I think, as it relates to business. There are very few, retail and restaurant both, and restaurant more so than retail because of perishability, because of the amount of staff is required to run this. And if I'm not mistaken, the restaurant business across the country is the second largest employer behind the U.S. government.
That's right.
So we're talking about a population, and New York City has the most restaurants in the U.S., so 23,000. So this is not a small segment we're talking about. And for the most part, the operators, myself included, when we started this business, I was 28 years old,
right.
And reading a 245-page insurance policy is not what my focus was. My focus is getting the business off the ground. And so the idea that this is going to be, I think there's going to be a certain amount of inequality within the business as this settles out for those people who are better prepared, better business folks, better organized, have better lawyers and better insurance brokers to some degree, is going to be, I think, an issue that's going to come down the pike 3 months, 6 months from now. You're going to lose a lot of the high-quality small operators. You're going to lose mom and pops who have family-owned businesses for 40, 50 years.
And by the way, we don't just broadcast in New York City. This goes around the country, but particularly the East Coast. New Jersey,
absolutely.
New Jersey has been buffaloed, and when you think about the different types of expenses that exist in the New Jersey restaurant game, where liquor licenses can cost upwards of seven figures.
Yep.
And to be closed for a week, to have beach seasonal properties that will not be able to open. It's only a small piece of the devastation, but it's a huge loss.
Here's
to the lifestyle.
Here's the biggest lesson, and I think this is kind of what I've been thinking about recently is, I think every restaurant operator, for the most part, wants to get back to work as soon as possible. Wanted to get back to work day one. Like, had the power been back on, and forget everything else, forget the destruction, every operator would have been back at their store at 6 in the morning, shoveling stuff out at the basements. And they were that type of people, right? The problem was, couldn't do it very, very well. And I think the people that we've come to rely on that we think would support us in this process are going to be possibly our largest hurdles, which is getting cash flow back into the businesses right away just to help us turn the lights back on, get employees back, et cetera.
So let's talk about that. I originally wanted to talk about, gosh, how much water was in your basement. And maybe we'll talk about that. But you know what? You're hitting really critical points here. We talked earlier. You are facing, and a number of restaurants who take the initiative are facing a really, what we call a Hobson's choice in the legal mm-hmm. business, right? Which is, you can approach the SBA,
mm-hmm.
and you can. Well, I'm going to let you tell the story because that Hobson's choice is a really difficult decision.
Yeah, so I think one thing to clarify is that I just want to make sure that I would say that almost every restaurant operator, like I said, wants to get back to work, and very few that I've heard of are, oh, poor me, mm-hmm. right? It's but the things that have been out of our control, like electric and gas and basic services, and not to mention all the other large businesses like law firms and banks who we come to rely on, who are displaced out of their large offices, which our business has diminished since that time. That's the stuff that we don't have control over. We don't, as restaurateurs, we don't like to be out of control.
The week after the storm,
mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many calls I got from clients telling me we can't get anybody on the line from our insurance carrier. Their offices don't have power.
That's right.
Our lawyer doesn't have power. We don't know if we don't know who where our employees are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know if they're okay.
And think about a business like restaurants, which we're all familiar with, is unlike an insurance company or a law firm or whatnot. Revenue is a daily thing here. So
exactly.
it's a cash based transaction based business. So when you're out, you're out. It maybe one of the only businesses in which you're fronted money, you know, day in and day out in terms of like how you pay your bills and stuff.
And you rely on it. I mean, yeah. You rely on the business model. Mm-hmm. And if the business model gets interrupted, well. We found out in the last couple of weeks what happens.
Going back to the things that could have and maybe done differently or continue to be done well are enabling businesses to get back on their feet as quickly as possible. And there's a company is a lot like a body. It has an amazing ability to repair itself as long as it's doing its exercise and as long as it's operating, right? Yeah. And we've found that out actually in this last week. It's the memory goes away a little bit and you start to do the things you're used to, and if people are back to work, it happens. Having said that, there is a hole. There's a chunk, a 3-week missing chunk of my business and my P&L of what banks are going to look like when they lend to me next year, or
right.
or investors, or comparables year over year and such like that, then we're going to look at this stuff and you're going to say, and not to mention cash flow, not to mention vendors who have been unbelievably understanding this whole process. I mean, these guys are getting hit also from all corners, right?
Well, they've lost it too.
And they lost,
They
lost product. They lost their business, lost their operations for a week or two. Mm-hmm. Some guys are, now everyone's taking it on the chin from all their operators saying, I got to go out a week, I got to go out 2 more weeks, etc.
Yeah.
And so to the degree that, how the insurance industry, or in this case the government, can respond quickly to injecting the capital into the industry as mm-hmm. quickly as possible will help mitigate any additional sort of, let's call it, disease that will happen within the industry.
Right. This very, very important industry, not only across the country, but really uniquely important here in the Northeast. Folks, you're listening to The Business of the Business on heritageradionetwork.org. When we come back from a short break, we've identified problems here, probably not even close to the number of problems that exist, but we're going to focus on some solutions and some solution metrics when we come back with Jeff Sarofsky and Howard Sweetwood. Phil Colicchio, The Business of the Business, HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
You're listening to Movement and Location by the Punch Brothers on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, Washed rind cheeses are a fairly recent addition to the repertoires of artisanal cheesemakers in the United States. These cheeses tend to be stinkier than other types and are often high on the list of connoisseurs. Now, Whole Foods Market has come up with one of their own. The raw cow's milk cheese, made by Sprout Creek Farm in Poughkeepsie, New York, is washed with 6-point ale from Red Hook, Brooklyn. The beige sticky rind deepens in color as it ages. The satiny ivory cheese within is mellow, with a sweetly tangy bite and a grassy aroma. The current version features 6-point diesel, which is in limited supply, so stop by and pick up some before it's gone. And Point of Origin cheese is sold exclusively at Whole Foods Market in New York, Northern New Jersey, and Connecticut. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Just reintroduce us. Folks, welcome back to the business of the business. That was the Punch Brothers with Movement and Location from their recent release, Who's Feeling Young Now? One terrific band, the Punch Brothers. Can't wait till they get back to New York so we can take a break and have a little fun and see them perform. Howard, you heard the lament that Jeffrey so eloquently expressed. Tell me, you're the guy who puts the insurance in place for people like Jeffrey. When you get that first phone call, what are you asking, Jeff? What is it that you're trying to help him accomplish? And I want to hear also about, hey, what are the kind of coverages that we want to make sure that we have in place when we're a restaurant? But this urgency, that phone call comes in, there's urgency. What are you asking him to do?
Well, I'm asking him to, as I mentioned before, to be as prepared as he can possibly be.
And by the way, you're not the insurance company.
Correct.
You're the placement,
I'm his advocate.
Exactly. I am his advocate.
I am the restaurateur. My client, I am their advocate.
There you go.
And I'm working with them to gather the information, keep it as simplified as possible, but as clear as possible. So as we were discussing during the break, when we talk about P&Ls, week-to-week P&Ls, year-versus-year, historical data, sales, invoices, it's that stuff is not always readily handled, easily on hand for a lot of restaurateurs because they're running a restaurant. They're selling food.
Well, that's exactly right.
So we're finding that some companies are saying they're overwhelmed too, the insurance companies. Understand that. They didn't expect something of this magnitude. So they're trying to make it simple.
Well, we get that. No, I want
to
make sure also.
I'm not defending any stretch.
Everybody needs a defense now and then. Mm-hmm. But where I want to go is I want to make sure restaurateurs listening to this understand that the agent that places that insurance for them, sometimes called a broker, that agent is their advocate.
100%.
It's not their enemy, it's their advocate. And they've got to press their advocate to advocate.
There's a, I think there's a lack of, not for any cause necessarily until now, but there's a typical lack of trust between the relationship of operator and let's call it insurance carrier, right? Not so much our advocate, not necessarily our insurance broker, because we never have these incidents, so no. We don't have any groundwork to build a relationship. Something that would be very useful is to understand, Howard, and this would be very useful for someone from the insurance companies to host a seminar such for small restaurants to say, listen, we want to do this as quickly as possible and as best as possible, and here's the stuff. And make it transparent, make it on record, and say, here's what we need from everybody.
Well,
and I know every policy is different, et cetera. But in basics, saying things like we were talking about it is whether it's a tropical storm or a hurricane or flood or whatnot, and these sorts of things, it's very, very important because if you're a small guy running a pizza shop in Brooklyn, guess what? Like, you're 6 months from now, and you don't get your check, and you're calling up, where's my check, And they're like, oh no, you said it was a flood.
No, only reference point we have is to watch Tremé on HBO. But I would tell you this, Howard Sweetwood, one of the reasons Howard is sitting here with us today is because Howard took that initiative mm-hmm. on the day after the storm and sent out a mass email to his clients and
even
told them
even broader base. We went
broader base. I
went
got
to
it and I'm not a
non-clients,
client.
Yeah.
Right.
To
anybody he knew
public,
was affected.
Public service,
right? And, but there you go. And he did that. Now I think Jeff that a guy like Howard is the right guy to put that on. And the reason is because he's going to tell you how you got to organize your stuff in order for the company, the insurance company, to get your claim through as quickly as possible, and for you to be able to say to the carrier, you've got everything you need. Make your decisions. Mm-hmm.
I may be cynical, but I'm going to go with what Jeff said earlier. I'm your advocate. I'm Jeff's advocate. Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's one problem with that. Sorry, we don't pay you, so the incentives are.
Yes, you do.
Well, we do in the pricing. We do in the pricing, but it's not a direct service, right? So, and that's not. I don't. I'm not saying negatively about anyone or distrustfully about anyone, but it's not a transparent business at all, right?
Depends who you deal with.
No, but it's not, because if I have an attorney, I pay them, and they have
right. Here's my hourly rate. Hourly rate. Here's what you pay me, and that's
it's not a knock on you or anyone else in the organization, including my own broker, who has been incredible in this process, right? But it's one of the things that occurred to me the other day is like, wait a minute, where follow the money, and where's the money coming from? I don't know.
Well,
that's the thing.
It's
not that I know one way or another.
It does come from the policy purchaser. That being said, I want Howard you to get us down the road of the problem and that you've heard and the steps toward resolution of that problem. Let's get us down that road.
First, we separate ourselves from the company. Again, you're my advocate. I'm your advocate, okay? and at the end of the day, I need for you to reach some level of satisfaction, if it can't be the most complete satisfaction, somewhere where you walk away from the process and say, I feel good about this. I'm maybe not made completely whole, but they did the best they can. They found coverage, even where coverage wasn't. Mm-hmm. They find coverage. So I don't care about my relationship with the company, frankly. I care about keeping you happy. And honestly, I care about you then going to somebody else and saying, Howard Sweetwood did right by me and really went to bat for me. So
I agree with that.
But, so I come to you and I say, okay, first of all, check in on your health and well-being. Secondly, how bad is it? Where you got power, you don't have power. What's the inventory looking like? How many locations are we dealing with? We get a breakdown of all that.
Howard, do you give them a questionnaire? Do you give them? I mean, do you put something out in front of them to help them organize, like the accountant does at the end of the year? Fill out this stuff, Jeff, and then we can help you get your taxes done. Do you do something like that?
I can supply him with a list, or I do supply with a list of documents, and it ranges from things that should be already produced, actually. Maybe with your accountant, maybe in QuickBooks, maybe somewhere that are probably easy to pull up.
The three most critical things. Let's make sure we get the three most critical things out on the table.
P&Ls.
Profit and loss statements.
Profit and loss statements.
For how many years going back?
Well, we'll look at year to year, same week, same time period of loss from last year to this year.
So Jeffrey just told us, like a lot of restaurateurs have told us in the New York area, I was having my best year. What does he have to do to establish that?
So I've been doing 5-week trailing as also an average compared as a growth rate over the 5-week trailing from the year prior and saying, okay, so here's what I could have estimated. The other thing I did, which maybe I'm going to jump in on number two and three, especially for restaurateurs, is we had a significant amount of caterings and events that were canceled.
Well, Halloween was...
There's Halloween, but I had contractual, with 50% deposit, whatever. So the rest of it's gone. And that's going into my claim, and we'll figure out how it's going to get adjusted or how it's going to get looked at. But the idea that is really dialed in and said, here's what we had on the books and it got canceled because. Right. So people forget about that. And I think we're doing it at the fine dining restaurant. We're looking at reservations that had canceled, that we had from the book that it got canceled, just to say, hey, listen, here's our revenue.
That's
here's
revenue.
Our check average. Mm-hmm. And so there are multiple ways, I think, to skin this cat from what I've heard. And so I'd like to hear the other two.
Yeah.
The last two things on the list of what we can do.
I think you need all your weekly expenses, which will come on the profit and loss statements.
Right.
Does bank amortization and interest can get calculated in that? Okay.
Yes, and some carriers, you know, a lot of insureds don't put that on there. So, you know, yeah, interest payments are included.
Right.
So you have P&Ls.
You got your weekly expenses.
You got your weekly expenses.
How else do we? How do
spoilage?
We deal? How do we deal with those
inventory? I think you know. So some of these restaurants, especially River, have significant inventory and work in process. Whether it's stocks that are made, you got to go back and break that down and what went into that.
Yep. And what about physical equipment? And what about the employees that we have to deal with? What if Jeffrey says, you know what, we're going to pay these guys?
We're
going to pay these guys. They're on our payroll. That's an expense.
They're,
tell us about how to deal with that.
As you drill down onto the insurance policy, business interruption coverage comes in every shape and size. And sometimes it covers ordinary payroll. And hourly workers will be included in ordinary payroll. Sometimes it doesn't cover
ordinary payroll. So we restaurateur people, we need to get into that component of our policies right away.
Just to put this on his head, though, we're looking at this, you know, hindsight's 20/20, right? Going into this, that week, if I had known that I could have employed my staff and gotten coverage for it, I would have. Instead, we'd made a choice and said, we don't know, so we're going to cover CYA, and we're going to not call in any hourlies, because at that point, digging out my policy was... It took me 3 days to get my policy, by the way, back out of my restaurant before I can even look at it.
Guys, the reason this show is called The Business of the Business is because we try to approach what is usually a romanticized concept, the restaurant world, you know, from a bare bones practical components. Break them down into the business components. This is a very important discussion that's going on here, and I really want to make sure that we can follow it up when another couple of weeks or another month or so goes by and we hear where you've gotten on the claims. Howard, how do you want to leave it today with the restaurateurs who are listening to this? What do you want to make sure that they know?
Again, I want to make sure and reiterate that their broker, their agent is their advocate.
Right.
You should trust them. You should be forthcoming with them, and because they're going to be the same with you, and call them. And in this case, call them repeatedly because they are overwhelmed. And most agents like to hold hands while there's a claim going on, but given the magnitude, it can be difficult. And time management is really one of the greatest skills that we can have right now. That said, as we come through this and come out the other side, I really think it's super important for operators and restaurateurs to pay very close attention to everything, including the premium, but pay very close attention to all the ancillary coverages that are getting included in these policies, because oftentimes, more often than not, those go overlooked. And whether it's business interruption because of power outage, it's that specific. And then even in that, it drills down from there. Well, why did the power go out? And we're going to start dealing with all that stuff now. And one thing I can say, as these adjusters start calling operators, their managers, their accountants, whomever they're calling, some people think they're trying to be duped or tricked into saying something they shouldn't say. Hey, how bad was the flood? The adjuster may say. I don't know anything about a flood.
Right.
I just know that we sustained some property damage and some spoilage. The power went out, and we need to put a business interruption claim. Oh, but the hurricane was bad. I don't know anything about a hurricane. So,
well, it sounds like that the restaurateur needs some education, needs a little sophistication, probably needs counsel at this point. And you know, my legal brother and I are going to be very busy in 6 months or so, I think, trying to wrestle with these issues. So, Jeffrey, you've been listening to Howard. You've been operating your business. I happen to know that you've been operating it in with insurance in the forefront of your mind for a long time. These are big issues for you each year when you've got to do renewals.
Yeah.
you've given me a great feeling that you believe that the agent that placed your coverage is really being helpful. Mm-hmm. What's he doing? What are they doing that you feel are really, really helping you?
It's similar to what Howard said. I feel like I could trust them, and I feel like I can talk to them openly about stuff. Now, would that hold up if they were, subpoenaed, the deposition taken later on down the road? I don't know. But if I'm using the word flood in a conversation, and he says, you know what, we don't know that it was a flood. That's very helpful, and that's the type of counsel you need from an advocate. If I could just say one thing about,
please,
to the restaurateurs out there and to the chefs and such, it's not to be taken lightly, and even for someone who's been in the business for 20 years, this is the first time I've experienced anything like this, as you know, this has happened in New Orleans, et cetera, but this is the first time I've experienced anything of this magnitude in terms of the power of the water and the power of what happened with this natural disaster. And for me, as sophisticated as we run our operator business, digging into our 245-page insurance policy with all the endorsements and all the riders and understanding which comes first and which comes after, that kind of stuff, eye-opening experience in terms of reading every letter for yourself. Because if you don't know what you're doing, if it's a small restaurant or a large restaurant group, if you don't know what you're doing, when you need it most, you're going to be in trouble.
Well, lesson learned, hands-on business. This is not a business for those who are faint of heart and don't want to get their hands dirty, that's for sure. Jeff Sorosky, Witchcraft, River Park, Howard Sweetwood, insurance guru to the restaurant industry here in New York. Guys, we're going to do a follow-up on this. It's a very important topic. I appreciate the generosity that you've shown with your experiences and with your backgrounds. Listeners, please reach out, www.heritageradionetwork.org, with any questions you might have for Jeff or Howard. You can email them to the station, and they'll be happy to respond to you. Again, Phil Colicchio, honored to be with these guys who are providing such a great service to the restaurant industry. Till next week, you're listening to The Business of the Business. Guys, even on a bad day, we can eat some pizza here. Let's go.
Looking forward to it. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.